Let's go to Oreo Cookie. Oreo Cookie in Oakland. What's going on, man? Good morning.
Hey. Hey, what up, man? Good morning. I'm just tripping on how all the callers are saying that it doesn't matter who starts. I say it definitely matters who starts. At the end of the first quarter, we were down 31 of 14. Thank God that our shooters shot the lights out last night, and it ain't going to be every time that they're going to bail us out, man. And the question I think you guys are always going with or trying to center it around Kuminga. I don't think it's a Kuminga thing, man. I would like to not start Draymond. What's the point of starting him if he's not doing anything as far as helping us offensively, because we are an offensive team?
Well, I guess the argument is pretty simple. It's and whether people agree with it or not, their rhetoric is, with Draymond off the floor, I believe they were like 29th or 30th defensively. With Draymond on the floor, they're infinitely better.
Yeah.
Right? Now, the same argument could probably be made. Without Curry on the floor, you're offensively not as good. Like, I hear that. Here's the question that I have. Like, if Curry's going to be out, let's just say, another couple of games, you really don't have a backup point guard, like a pure point guard. And Dre really is that pure point guard. So if you're going to start pods, you know, maybe Draymond is the guy off the bench and you start Kuminga. I just don't see them doing that. But, like, you know, and running Draymond Green essentially as that point forward off the bench, I don't think they're going to do that.
Yeah, not yet. Not yet. Plus what he means defensively, getting guys in the right position there, bringing up the floor, bringing the ball up the floor. But, you know, Oreo Cookie. Does anybody agree with Oreo Cookie? 888-957-9570. Because I can play devil's advocate as much as I say, hey, man, the starting five doesn't matter. It's the status thing. It's who finishing. They have gotten up to slow starts in 3 to 4 games that they've played.
Okay.
Portland got off to a slow start. Now they're trying to figure out the lineup with J.K., Wiggins, Dre, TJD, Steph. Got off to a slow start against Utah, down 15-6. Yesterday, as Oreo Cookie just mentioned, 34-14. So maybe it's not so much about who starts. It's about having the right combination out there. So can Steve Kerr find the right combination to start a game? And the right combination, maybe he doesn't have that yet. Maybe it is a Buddy Hield and Stephen Curry in the backcourt with Andrew Wiggins and Dre and Looney. Maybe it's TJD and Dre and Wiggins and D'Anthony Melton and Steph. Maybe it's Pods and Steph. I don't know. Steve Kerr doesn't know yet. But maybe it's about getting the right combination to start the game. Not so much who's starting, but the right combo to start.
Am I crazy off of one game to say that maybe they experiment with Lindy Waters down the line somewhere if this kind of sustains? I mean, it feels so premature.
Yeah, because then there's a Steph element. Does he know how to play with Steph? How does he play with Steph?
I don't know. But
I don't know. I don't care. His shooting is great.
He's Red Dead Revolver, the old video game. I mean, that guy was dialed in yesterday.
He was dialed in yesterday.
I couldn't believe. You know, it's one thing when you see a guy in the preseason. He played with his hair on fire yesterday. I was so impressed.
I was impressed, but I don't want to get crazy.
No, I
don't
want to get crazy.
It's one game. I don't want to get recency bias, but I believe this young man. This young man believes in himself, but he is 27 years old, so he's mature.
Steve Kerr did say last night multiple times in the postgame, Bonte, that Lindy Waters was the second best at minimum.
In training camp.
Yeah.
He had a great camp.
So no, I don't know. Practice is practice, right? I don't want to make it like it's the end all be all.
Well, Antonio Daniels told us yesterday, who was it? Brennan Ingram. And who else was it that had a great camp? And I was like, wow, 1A, 1-0. Jordan Hawkins.
Who the was young man out of UConn at one point in the game.
Yeah, he struggled yesterday. Jordan Hawkins, young man. Yeah, he was 0-6 for the game. 4-4 for this free throw line. He'll score 4 points. Had no impact.
I didn't think that was a foul on the 3-point shot.
No, I didn't either.
Where he kicked his leg out. Anyway, keep going.
But Antonio, and so I was like, what about Zion? He goes, oh, it doesn't mean Zion had a bad camp. But it's just these guys had a better camp. So I don't know how Steve Kerr's going to roll with this. But the hustle points going into that game last night. People are going to love this. Second in offensive rebounding so far to start the season. Second in second chance points to start the season. They're number one in the league, and I think this is important. This is a stat that gets overlooked. I wish we talked more about it. Deflections. They're the best in the league when it comes to deflections in the half court or the full court, and they're number one in steals per game. And the deflections, I think, is important because there's only 24 seconds in the shot clock. You get one or two deflections within a half court, and all of a sudden you're disrupting disrupting that offense, and all of a sudden they're setting us, oh boy, we got to play iso ball. Oh no, our flow. It's what the Lakers did so well to the Warriors in that playoff series a couple years ago. They got so many deflections within a half court where it threw off the Steph and the Clay and the Draymond and the split action. It threw it all off. So having these deflections and getting your hands on the basketball where guys got to, oh man, I got to gain possession here. That's a very intriguing stat to me. So again, second in the league in offensive rebounds. Yesterday they had 11. Looney's got 20 through four games. Second chance points, they're second best in the league. And last night, where are they at in second chance points? 13 to 11, so a little down. Deflections, I would love to see the deflection numbers from last night. And steals, they had 15 more steals last night.
They look like a team that when they're guarding off ball, they don't fall asleep as much.
No.
And are so hyper focused on where their man is, you know, in relation to the hoop. There was a moment last night where JK was off ball and Alvarado tried to seam one in on a cutter, and JK just jumped right in front of it and just picked it off. And I'm like, I don't think JK does that last year.
No doubt.
Last year, he's either paying way too much attention to the point guard and doesn't see his man cutting and has left two steps to the left, or is so close to his man that he plays himself out of the play. They've done a really good job. Now, I guess, like, the personnel they brought in is better defensively, right?
Yep.
Than last year.
Melton's better.
Kyle Anderson better than what they have?
Kyle Anderson's not bad.
Saric?
He's a lot better defender than Saric. He's no doubt.
They're different players. Yep,
no doubt. But he's a lot better. He moves his feet well. He knows. And the communication defensively, these guys know where to be. Now, Kyle Anderson should get credit in terms of this, when it comes to defense. He played for Chris Finch in Minnesota, and he played with Memphis. They're one of the better defensive teams with JJJ and Kyle Anderson coming off that bench. So he's a smart player. He's got to get a shot rolling offensively. But they'd seem better. Chris Paul was a bit older.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson, without a rim protector, is not the same defender. Now, I will say, just watching the Mavericks, and I watched that entire game yesterday against them and the T-Wolves, Klay looks like a better defender on that team because they have Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively behind them. Two shot blockers. And P.J. Washington could go out there and contest some shots at the rim. So all of a sudden, he could press a little harder on the perimeter and not give guys space. He forced a turnover on Anthony Edwards late in the game. The final moments of that game was really good defensive possession for Klay. But overall, on this team with the Golden State Warriors, they are a better defensive team. And I think Draymond Green, we don't get with Draymond Green. We always fall into everything else with Draymond. There's a lot of times if you just watch the game, him pointing, communicating, stay back, I got it, let's switch, subtle little switches there in the paint. So defensively, that's why you start Draymond Green, because you want to start off with it. You don't want guys just getting out there, getting comfortable, getting hot, and that's where Draymond Green comes into play. So look, he'll get rolling here, but defensively, it's communication. I think it's important when you have a new basketball team, and Draymond Green's the one who's been here alongside Steph for so long to where he understands what Steve Kerr wants to do defensively.
Well, I thought yesterday they couldn't get off to a good defensive start because you didn't have Wiggs or JK in that opening lineup, and you're giving Ingram a lot of space to shoot, and he can just kind of shoot up over guys, even if you're trying hard. I thought Buddy Hield did try hard yesterday, but he's not the greatest defender. He's way more effort than I thought. I thought he was a turnstile defensively.
Yeah, no, he's playing hard.
He's playing way better. It's sustainable. But like when you don't have Wiggs and you don't have JK in that starting lineup, you do lack the perimeter defense.
And when you're not scoring offensively, you're taking the ball out the hoop. Pelicans are setting up their half-court defense. And, you know, you're struggling here because you don't have Steph. It was ugly. Man, it was that first quarter was ugly. 21% they shot. 21.5%, 5 of 23, 2 of 13. But once in the second quarter, Lindy Waters helped break this game open. Pardon me. And Buddy Hill, he spoke on that after the game. He's like, they asked him, what changed? He said, Lindy Waters. So who was Lindy Waters III? Pardon me. When that trade went down, I think it broke on the show, actually. We had no idea who he was.
No clue.
But it's a nice little move by Dunleavy. Nice little subtle move, working the margins, bringing in a player. Now, I don't know how sustainable this is. I want to see it for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. But so far, so good for Dunleavy.
I mean, he's got a little juice. He tries hard. And I kind of underrated his handle. I was like, I thought he was just a catch and shoot guy. Like, I was thinking in my mind, like, Anthony Morrow from back in the day, right?
Yep.
Like,
who played for the OKC, too?
Yeah, very ironic.
Georgia Tech.
But, like, that's what I thought, like, a stationary, don't leave him, on an island. He's going to knock it down. No, he's got a little handle. Like, not the greatest, but he's got a little handle. He had a couple of nice driving layups. Yep. He went back door a couple times. I think JK hit him on a back door on one. So, yeah, I think he's got a little more to his game. And clearly Kerr loves him. And I think that's the most important thing. The coach loves him.